Y'all didn't hear that.
Maybe you don't plan to be in that resurrection.
I'm just trying to help somebody.
This is a pre-resurrection service.
You believe in the resurrection, don't you?
Yeah. The next time we see her,
we'll be in the first resurrection.
Yeah.
So our gathering here today is one of saying, you know what, saints? She's resting. But guess what? Just in a little while, we're going to see her again. Is that all right?
Hallelujah.
And so to the Cheadle family, my brother Gerald, and Holly, who's not able to make it today, but she's in Dallas. And if you have a connection or a pipeline to Holly, give her a call now and then. Even if she doesn't answer the phone, just leave her an inspiring message. Amen. And my dear sister, Raven, praise God. My prayers and thoughts will always be with you. I bring you greetings from the Sharon Seventh Adventist Church in Portland, Oregon. I'm still pinching myself that I'm there. I also bring you greetings from my dear wife, Marie. She wasn't able to make it. And our son, KJ. But I'm happy that our daughter, Kristen, a good sidekick to Raven, that she's able to be here. According to the Mayan prophecy, today is supposed to be the end of the world. But let me ask you this question. Are you able to explain to someone why today is not the end of the world using key verses from the Bible? Are you? What an opportunity we have today. And one thing I've learned is that you don't have to know it verbatim. One thing I've learned from those in marketing, that you let the expert talk. And the expert is, guess what? The Word of God. We got it in the form of DVDs, in the form of CDs, in the form of Bible studies, in the form of all kinds of formats. Just let them do the talking. All you got to do is just pass it on. Come on and say amen. Amen. And even though today is not the end of the world, stop living in this world like it's not going to end. And neglecting the next world like it's not going to begin. Is that all right? It will end one day. The Bible tells me so. Amen? Hallelujah. And just to sum up a person's life in these next few minutes, it's so hard, especially someone like Ree, who was not only just a powerful, wonderful, God-given member. She was my secretary. Amen. And the first hired secretary for the Southside Seventh Adventist Church. And I was trying to look back to find out when did she start, and I couldn't figure it out. But I was here for 10 and a half years, and most of those years, probably 9 of those years, she was my secretary. Faithful. Faithful. And she had to pass Marie's standard or her grade, and she passed it with flying colors. Amen. When I think about Ree, I think about a woman who has purpose, vision, and passion. She had purpose. And many people ask, why did she die? A better question to ask is, why did she live? You see, when God conceived Ree and brought her into this world 9 months later, God knew she would only have,
Elder Cheadle,
59 years. God knew that. Many people are concerned about how she died. But there is a better focus, and that is how she lived. You see, it's not the end, but the trend of your life that matters to God. Why did she live? What was her purpose? Sister Ree Cheadle had what, everybody? Purpose. It was Howard Hendricks who said, your career is what you're paid for, but your purpose is what you're made for. And Sister Ree had purpose. What do I mean by purpose? I mean the reason for which something is created or for which something exists. Ree was a woman of purpose. And it wasn't a purpose that she tried to figure out. It was a purpose that she simply accepted and received from God. God is the only person that knows 100% as to why you are alive, why you are here. You see, it's not the color of your hair or the color of your eyes. It's not about your race or your ancestry. It's not about how tall you are or what size you are. It's not about when you were born or where you were born. It's not about your culture or your environment. However, it is about what's in the heart of God when He created you and when you discover it. The reality is none of us asked to be here in this world. If God asked me or consulted me before I came into this world, my vote would have been no. Absolutely not. Catch me on the other side of the millennium. No. I don't want to live in this crazy world where people shoot up schools and shoot up churches and shoot up all kinds of neighborhoods. No, not here. But discovering God's purpose as to why He puts you here is simple. All you got to do is ask Him. Just ask Him and keep on asking Him. Come on and say amen. Hallelujah. And you will find that purpose unfolding every single day. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you and I appointed you. Come on and say amen. Amen. Isaiah 14 verse 27 says, for the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? You have purpose, just like Sister Ree. One of my favorite texts, Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to take care of you. Plans not of evil, but plans to give you a future and a hope. God wants us to walk around, to talk and to live and to think like individuals who have, what everybody? Purpose. Ree not only had purpose, she had vision. To have vision, you must first have purpose. When a person has vision, she is not distracted by somebody else's journey. Instead, she focuses on her own and develops a plan to fulfill it. I'm talking about vision. What do I mean by vision? I simply mean a picture of the future. Ree had a picture of the future. Her future. And everything she did was about pursuing that vision. See, the problem that we have today is that we have too many copycats. Everybody want to copy this person and copy that person. Where individuals lack originality and vision. Don't be a copycat. Be an original dog.
Come on and say amen. Amen.
Yeah. What is the vision that your life is based on? Sister Ree's vision was based on promises like Ephesians 3:20. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Amen. See, the reality is we often forget who God is. And we look at God through religious eyes. And God to us is just a God of another religion. And we forget that God is the one who literally breathed this world into existence. When God said, let there be light, light came out of his mouth so fast at 186,000 miles per second. And light has been traveling ever since. That's the God that created you. My life. Let me ask you this question. Would you think of the animal that you disgust the most? Think about the animal that just makes you just cringe, and even a picture of it just horrifies you. Let me ask you this. Whether that animal is a snake or a roach or a slug, I don't know what it is. But would you ever ask that animal, that insect, to ever introduce you? Would you ever ask that animal to announce you? Would you ever ask that animal to sing in your honor? Would you ever ask that disgusted animal to worship you? Would you ever ask that animal to glorify you? But yet, in our state, God has elected us, called us to glorify him, to magnify him. Come on, somebody. What does a magnify mean? It means to take something and make it bigger. How in the world can you or I make God bigger? But God says, no. That's my son. That's my daughter. I'm going to let them make me bigger. You're going to have that vision for your life. Amen. And get that vision from God. Not only did Ree have purpose and vision, but she had passion. And that's what's lacking today is passion. By passion, I mean having enthusiasm, zeal, energy, fervency, spontaneity. Come on, somebody. Spirit. Uh-huh. Get a life, somebody. Passion. Huh? Didn't we see that in her? Day in, day out. Passion. Ree had a desire to pursue life to the fullest. Amen? Many of her ideas were even too big for her times. Too big for her church. Amen. She was not a small-minded person. She was always a person wanting to improve things. She was uncomfortable with the status quo. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Hallelujah. For there is no work, no plan, no knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. I always tell young people, I don't care if you're taking a class and you don't like the teacher. The teacher is not the one getting the grade at the end. It's you. I don't care if you don't like the subject and it's not your major. If you do one thing with mediocrity, it leads to do something else. Even the thing that you love. With mediocrity as well. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do it heartily. That means with passion. As if you're doing it to Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Knowing that from the Lord you shall receive the reward of your inheritance. James 5, verse 16. I love this text. One of my anchor texts of my life. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. It's an effectual, fervent praying life. Are you listening to me? Some of us need to start learning how to pray with passion. And then we will get more things added to our lives. My. Ree was a praying woman. She believed in the power of God to do what he has promised. And what I've learned, my brothers and sisters, when we go before God, we don't have to try to multiply words. All we got to do is paraphrase his promises and let them reflect right back at him and say, God, I did not write this. You wrote this. So you got to fulfill this. There are more promises in God's world than there are problems in our lives. Stop focusing on the problems and start focusing on the promises. Sister Ree Cheadle was not a person that just sat around and felt sorry for herself. She wasn't a person who just sat at the window and compared herself with other people. Even in her weakest state. Are you listening to me? She didn't sit around criticizing, complaining, and condemning. She didn't do that. Even the times when she literally barely had strength to take a spoon and lift it to her mouth, I would look around and I get a text from her. An inspiring text. And it would have a picture attached to it. Many of you got that too. And a lot of those pictures were pictures that she took herself. Where things went unnoticed, she did not let it go by unnoticed. Sister Ree Cheadle was a woman of purpose, vision, and passion. And we all know that she loved to write poems. And so I want to leave you with one poem that I believe sums her up. Sums up her life. I refuse to be discouraged. I refuse to be discouraged, to be sad, or even cry. I refuse to be downhearted, and here's the reason why. I have a God who's mighty, who's sovereign and supreme. I have a God who loves me, and I am on his team. He is all wise and powerful. Jesus is his name. Though everything is changeable, my God remains the same. My God knows all that is happening, beginning to end. His presence is my comfort. He is my dearest friend. When sickness comes to weaken me, to bring my head down low, I call upon my mighty God, into his arms I go. When circumstances threaten to rob me of my peace, he draws me close unto his breast where all my striving cease. When my heart melts within me and weakness takes control, he gathers me into his arms, he soothes my heart and soul. You see, the great I am is with me. My life is in his hand. Amen. The Son of God is my hope. It's in his strength I stand. I refuse to be defeated. My eyes are on my God. He has promised to be with me as through this life I trod. I'm looking past all circumstances to heaven's throne above. My prayers have reached the heart of God, and I'm resting in his love. I give God thanks in everything. My eyes are on his face. The battle's his, the victory mine. He'll help me win the race.
God bless you.
Powerful word. Thank you, Pastor Remy. We are going to have our obituary read at this time by a family member, Greg. Come on up, Greg. Read our obituary. We will hear a short closing remarks by myself, and then we will be dismissed.
All too often I've been to this church for funerals. But I want to take 1 minute to say thank you to Southside. It was at this church 18 years ago that this church on bended knee prayed for my son who was riddled with cancer. And I want you to know, Aunt Etta and Gerald, Uncle Vernon's shoes were worn by my son on Monday. Those gray Stacy Adams were worn by my son. He came and he said, "Daddy, I want to wear these shoes to class today." So I just want to thank Southside. Miss Edna Marie Reed Cheadle passed away Thursday, December 6, 2012, at 1:52 a.m., where her older daughter resides. She was born March 10, 1953, in Wichita, Kansas, the daughter of James Jackson and Elsie Finley. Stepfather was Arthur Finley. She was united in marriage to Gerald Cheadle on October 24, 1976, here in Bakersfield, California. They've been married for 36 years. Within their union, they had two beautiful girls, Holly Cheadle Robinson and Raven Cheadle. During her childhood days in Wichita, Reed loved being outside in the yard playing games and capturing a variety of animals and insects. Only in Kansas. She was also very competitive. She could run, she could outrun all the boys on her block. Reed was very creative, making money by selling popcorn and homemade cinnamon toothpicks. That's what it says here. Talent shows that brought the whole neighborhood together for activities. Reed and Verda moved to Denver, Colorado in 1969, where they enjoyed being in the high school yearbook club, and she was very involved in the drama class. There she had numerous friends throughout her many years that she spent there. Feeling the need to move forward with her life, she went west to California. There she met Gerald. And became interested in the Seventh-day Adventist message. She received Bible studies and was baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist church. These preachers are contagious. She then became very involved with several of the Bay Area churches and joined the Gospel Dynamics. Reed worked at Fairmont Memorial Hospital and a physical therapy technician for several years. The family moved to Bakersfield, where Reed was a member of the Bakersfield Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. Amen. Reed had an unwavering faith in God. She was very active in the church, and she began volunteering to do a variety of ministries in and outside the church. She assisted with numerous fundraising activities. She managed and directed a young girls group called New Definition and Praise in Motion. She was a member of the church choir and enjoyed writing some of her own music. She served on the 3AC committee of the Central California Conference. She was a deaconess, homecoming committee chairperson, whenever asked. She was the editor of the newsletter for the health team, community service, potluck committee, praise team, Christmas party committee, and women ministries. She was one of the best decorators in the church, decorating for weddings and numerous Southside programs. The thing she enjoyed wholeheartedly was being the secretary of Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church, and it must have been because of him. But she never stopped sharing her knowledge with the next secretary. Ree was the greatest of great literature evangelists. She never left home without some kind of witnessing tool of any form to share. She would hand it to you, mail it to you, and leave it on the table at any kind of program. Doorstep, hotel, motel, food court, wherever. There she would leave something. To her, his word would never go void. Right up to the time of her passing, she was sharing the word of God to somebody. A consummate wife, mother, and homemaker. Ree was an excellent cook and enjoyed preparing meals for her family and friends. Over the years, she collected a large library of cookbooks and books from all around the world. She also loved to travel and visited many places with her husband. And I might add that the three of us, we took a trip to Denver in a little old Honda Prelude. And I wanted to drive because if you were the driver, you had the most room. Took us 24 hours in that champagne-colored small Honda Prelude. She also enjoyed gardening. Give her a piece of plant and she would plant it and nurture it. Writing poetry was always in her heart. Just a few words and she would turn it into a poem. Now that's a poem. As an amateur photographer, she took pictures of anything and turned it into something beautiful for the eye to behold. Although some of the pictures she took, you may have not wanted her to take, but she wanted to see you smile. Family and friends were Ree's passion and delight. Her creativity, passion, and sense of humor and personable smile always kept others uplifted. She simply enjoyed spending time with her friends and family, and most of all, spending time with God. Survivors include her husband, Gerald, my brother, Gerald, daughters, Holly Robinson Rochard of Fort Worth, Texas, Raven Cheadle of Bakersfield, California, and four siblings, Verda Mackey Stanley of Mesa, Arizona, Alan Charles Finley, Teresa, Bakersfield, California, Kenneth Finley, Karen, Arlington, Texas, her only surviving Aunt Irene and Uncle Willie D. Alford, a host of nieces, nephews, great nieces and nephews, cousins, relatives, and friends who loved and will miss her dearly.
Thank you, Greg. Well, we've had a lot of preaching today. Good words. Pastor Canson, Mr. Ramey, Greg, you even. Came up at the end. And well, you know, God is just something else. And I have to be real right now. I'm beginning to see why God sent me here to Bakersfield, Arthur. I guess God looked down in the future and he said, Gerald, I'm going to take your wife, but I'm going to bring back your best friend. How could you explain that? When everybody else leaves, Gerald, when everybody else goes back to L.A., to the Bay Area, to Atlanta, I'm going to be here with you. I'm going to be here with you. I'm going to walk you through it, Gerald. We're going to get through it. We're going to get through it somehow. I just want to read a text for you and sum it up. Revelation 21:4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. You know, I know you want to see Ree one day. And we will. We will. Because he's faithful, Melvin. And I was thinking about heaven the other day. And heaven is a place where we can't really comprehend. So when we describe the bliss and the beauty of heaven, all that's well, but it's really an exercise in futility. Because we cannot imagine it. What does 1 Corinthians 2:9 say? What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, Gerald. And that's why I guess the scriptures portray heaven in terms of what we can understand. I want to go to heaven. Because in heaven with Jesus, there will be no more tears. No more pain. No more cuts and bruises or skinned knees. No more pain of death, Gerald. No more goodbyes. No more loneliness. No more broken relationships. No more arguments, no more fighting, no more separation, no more divorce, no more abortion, no more abandonment, no more spousal or child or employee abuse, no more slavery, no more coercion of any kind. That means there will be no more fear, no more sickness, no more cancer, no more disease, no more broken homes, no more broken hearts, no more broken windows, no more broken homes, no more hunger or starvation, no more thirst, no more shortness of breath, no more asphyxiation, no more dying slowly with alcohol, tobacco, or drugs, no more killing oneself quickly by jumping off a bridge or building or pulling the trigger. No more guns, no more bombs, no more terrorism. Nothing will hurt or destroy. Heaven will contain nothing that causes pain, sorrow, or tears. Are you noticing that these are the things so common in our sin-sick world that we can hardly take notice anymore? But in heaven, ladies and gentlemen, there'll be no more sin or selfishness, no more deceit, no more cheating, no more lying, no more greed, no more looking for love in all the wrong places, no more philandering, no more sorcery or witchcraft, no more killing, no war. Heaven will have no more backstabbing, no more guile, no more defamation of character, no more empty entertainment or gambling. People will cease chasing after other gods, breaking the Sabbath, dishonoring parents, and committing murder or adultery. No one will steal or lie against their neighbor, and there won't be any wishing for anything more, because at last, preachers, at last, our joy will be full. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.
Words of Pastor Evangelist Byron Spears. What more should I say? You know, I just feel so blessed. You know, I look up here, and around me, my boys are here. You know, I tell everybody most of my friends are pastors. Roger Frazier, Pastor Frazier,
yes,
47 years. We connected just instantaneously back in our childhood days.
Yes, yes.
And Kevin, yes, I hate to use first names, but Kevin, he helped mend this end along with Earl.
Yes.
When my wife and I, we had our difficulties. He was the one that kept us glued together.
Amen.
I tell ya, Earl, I tell ya, I tip my hat off to, these are my boys. They're not my past, they're my boys. We all grew up together. Fred, I met him some 40 years ago. He's been a mentor in my life ever since. David,
yes, sir.
Man, words can't say, this brother is, he's off the chain. And I just want to also thank Melvin, Tony, Lily, watch out, and my brother Greg, and I want Arthur, please come forward, please. This brother I met through Steve back in 1980. Steve told me that, I know someone that really remind me of me. And I said, who is this brother? And it was Arthur. And we've been friends ever since.
Amen.
Not only friends, that's a bad definition. He's been closer than a brother. He's been at my dad's funeral, my brother's funeral, didn't even know him, but he came, and he's here all the way from Atlanta, Georgia.
Amen.
To be here. I just love this brother.
Amen.
I tell you, I love him. And we've been friends ever since, and I owe him, I owe all these brothers. I owe him big time, I tell you. And I just want to thank you so much for coming. My wife, her life was about ministry, evangelizing. I know one of the last few times that I brought her to church, she was very sick, so she wasn't able to come here very often this year. But we were driving almost to the church. One time she had to roll down the window, and she was throwing stuff out the window. That's illegal. You know, what she was throwing out was literature. I said, have mercy. You know, she brought, even though I grew up in the church, when I met her, she was not in the church. But, you know, she took this message, I mean, from day one out the gate, running, dragging me along, you know. And I just thank you. Thank her for being a part of my life for 38 years. and married for 36 years. We just celebrated our 36th on October 24th of this year. And I was hoping I would have her a little bit longer because we were making plans because she couldn't breathe to an area where she can breathe fresh air, but didn't quite make it. But I just thank the Lord that when the resurrection day comes, when he comes down and the trumpet of God will blow, and I can see my wife. And hopefully, if I'm alive, I can catch up with her and grab her hand and hold it and squeeze it.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that day.
Amen. Yes.
I'm looking forward to that day. Yes. I know there's a lot of sisters that people that wanted to say something. I apologize, but we will see her soon.
Yes.
By his grace. And I thank you.
Amen.
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 When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Let's all stand as we sing. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us to play a place. Let's sing this song. And I would like, after we sing this song, we know we have a wonderful dinner prepared for you in the Jackson Taylor, Cleveland, thinking of Oakwood, auditorium. Please stay by and fellowship with us and the Cheadle family as we partake of our meal together. Would you do that? Let's lift our voices and sing. You should know this by heart. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout to victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the Everybody now, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all
Can we all say amen?
Amen.
When we all get to heaven,
yes.
What a day of rejoicing that will be.
Yes.
When we all see Jesus, we're going to shout the victory.
Yes.
Listen to the Lord in benediction. Dear Heavenly Father, you said in your word, blessed are they that die in the Lord, for their works do follow them. You also said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints.
Yes.
And so, Lord, as we reflect upon your precious daughter, Ree, she was both blessed and precious to you. And in your infinite wisdom, you have allowed her to go to sleep for just a little while. Help us, Lord, as the pastor has already stated, to make our calling and election sure. It's one thing to talk about how great Ree was, but it's another thing to meet her on the sea of glass. So we're asking, Father, even in this benediction, that if we haven't made up our minds, that we would make up our minds today to be purposeful, as one pastor stated, to be intentional, to order our lives via a vision, so that we'll be able to meet thee in peace. Now, dear God, we ask that you would inhabit our hearts and our minds to the point, Lord, that we will be completely sold out to you. Forgive us of our sins, fill us with your Holy Spirit, and when all is said and done, bless us and grant us a place in your eternal kingdom. And we'll be careful to give you the praises, not only today, but the endless ages of eternity. This we praise you in the name of Jesus. And all of God's children declared, amen.